Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that ass. I was trying to ride it out with you, and then all of a sudden it just stopped.
Well, I mean, right? We've gone through this. I can't keep up with you.
But usually fade away. You hit those emergency brake lights. I saw come
you
up
saw
at full
flashing.
Red.
You're like, shit, what's going on down that highway? Feaster Nation, Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com. Great to be here with you as always. Some dates coming up in September, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I'm going to be in Colorado at the Dickens Opera House in Longmont on the 20th, the Aggie Theater in Fort Collins on the 21st, and the Pace Center in Park, Colorado on the 22nd. And also, I'm going to be coming out on October 3rd to Cleveland, October 4th, Detroit, October 5th, Chicago, October 6th, Minneapolis, and then November 7th in Philadelphia, November 8th in D.C., November 9th in New York, and November 10th in Boston. Those will be tickets listing and all that is going to be on my website. There's going to be some other dates released soon, so just mark those down if you're in those areas. I would love to see you. Please come out and say what up to your boy. Sickle Cell!
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Ryan, you know, that's my website, RyanSickler.com. Excited to be at, how many weeks is it now? 2 more weeks? Or is it next week?
Next week, baby.
Next week. We're going to be at the Petaluma.
Petaluma, baby!
Petaluma Festival in Petaluma, California on Saturday, August 18th. Live Crab Feast podcast.
And shows that night.
Shows that night for both of us. And I'll be on vacation leading up to that, so there's no dates for me to tell you about.
If you're in Baltimore, say what up to your boy, baby.
Throw a crab up in the air. I would like to say thank you to every single one of you who bought Kentucky Derby shirts. Thank you very much for supporting
the
podcast.
Can't wait to see what y'all got.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Make sure you subscribe to the Crab Feast on iTunes, everywhere. Write some reviews, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Back again, ZipRecruiter is here to support the Feast, and now you can get support through them as well. It's tough to make hiring these days. It's hard to find qualified candidates and takes a long time. I mean, we just know from what we got to do here at the podcast, if you got to take time away from what your job is to find someone else to help you with your job, that's a waste of time. But ZipRecruiter makes it easy. Hiring is challenging. One place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. I mean, that's just got to relieve your mind, okay, that you don't have to worry about that stuff. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address offer, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B.
I just recommend a friend of mine works.
Excuse me, Ryan. I'm in the middle of a read.
This is appropriate. A friend of mine works for a television network and said, you know, they're looking for someone very specific. And I said, go to my website and go to ZipRecruiter and put our code in and put your thing there and you tell me how many people you get. So I'm going to find out this week because it works.
That's fantastic. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I'll tell you what else.
We've scanned a lot of applicants for the Crab Feast.
Trying to get on the show, you know what I'm saying? But this guy, I've seen, he's a New Yorker, and I've seen him online in like, you know, in times when I was in New York. This. And I hit him up, and I was like, dude, when are you going to be in L.A.? And this was like over a year ago. And there was a couple times we went back and forth. Finally, we got him in here. Stoked to have him on. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the podcast from New York, baby, Mr. Chris DiStefano.
Chris DiStefano!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Yeah, thank you.
Shit, you didn't think it was going to come that correct.
I like it. I enjoy it. Yeah,
yeah.
That was good.
You like that energy.
That was good energy. It was positive energy. Mm-hmm. You know, of course it was forced, but it was, but it didn't feel forced.
No,
but
I mean,
you know, the whole idea of it is forced, but it didn't come off that way. And I believe it to be genuine.
It was genuine.
I believe it to be genuine.
It was genuinely forced.
Yeah. That's what
like
I mean.
He's in front of a judge right now. Your Honor, I believe it to be genuine.
Yeah.
It'll stand.
I've sat in enough courtrooms to like know how, I'm not a lawyer, but I just know how they talk and what they do.
Yeah.
You know,
and their body manners.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think comedians are a great lawyer. I mean,
fuck yeah.
Fucking swaying the jury, baby. It's just humans on humans. The evidence doesn't make, it's just,
there's that fucking New York that my in-laws have. There's no H in humans. Every time my fucking father-in-law, huge humans. Every time I get so, I'm like, I don't know what that means, Joe.
Yeah, human. Yeah, I couldn't say with the here. Yeah, we would. Yeah, we'd. I'd feel like I'm spitting on you.
Yeah,
humans.
Well, we're stoked to have you here for real. And before we get into it, why don't you plug whatever you want? Social media, your Comedy Central show.
Yeah,
all of it, please.
My social media is at Chris D Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, and then every Friday night at 11 on Comedy Central, I have a show called Stupid Questions with Chris DiStefano, where I just ask people stupid questions. And then I have a podcast called The History Hyenas with Giannis Pappas on iTunes, and a web series called The Bay Ridge Boys. Go to bayridgeboys.net. It's just funny
dot
first.
Net,
dot,
baby.
Dot net.
Bay Ridge Boys.
Bay Ridge Boys. Net, motherfucker. Ain't no net.
I was telling you, I've watched your show, and I think it's really good. I've enjoyed everyone I've seen. What's the dumbest question you think you've asked somebody?
The dumbest question?
And then I want to hear the dumbest answer to, not necessarily that question, just the dumbest fucking answer.
What's the dumbest question? I mean, they have me ask some of the same questions for like, you know, repeat shit, but I guess the dumbest question is I always ask people what they would name a boat. I was just, if they had a boat, what would they name it? And nobody has a boat. So nobody, the question always kind of, it just always takes too long.
Right.
And nobody has a fucking answer.
I'm like, oh, shit, but I want to get this right.
But I just ask it every week.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to get the boat if you get the name.
Well, then they always have me ask, what would you rather have, ice cream that tastes like poop or poop that tastes like ice cream? And it's like, you know, I guess, I don't know, ice cream that tastes like poop. I don't want to eat frozen poop. Although there was a girl in my neighborhood, everyone used to call her Rocky Road, because somebody, when we were teenagers, I wasn't a part, I mean, I was at the party, but I didn't, I had no idea who did it or what happened, but there was Rocky Road ice cream there, and somebody took a shit in the ice cream.
No.
Yeah, and they put like little bits of their shit in the ice cream. We're fucking dumb teenagers, and this girl was drunk and high and ate the ice cream. And
what's up, Rocky?
Yeah. You're not going to believe this right now.
Rocky Road!
Get here, girl. Bring an ice cream scooper.
Bring that pipe, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
Rocky
Road. That is nasty.
Yeah. But
Rocky Road. That's awful. That poor girl.
That girl. And people still to this day call her Rocky Road.
Of course they do. It's forever.
Forever,
that's
man.
That's a moment. You were a teenager. You're still talking about it.
Rocky Road,
later.
Baby.
Can you imagine she's like at like a work lunch? And like someone from high school, I'm like, oh my God, Rocky Road, how are you? And she's like, hey.
And her boss is like, what is
Rocky Road?
Yeah, she's hot too.
I just love the ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Oof, tough call.
Yeah, dude. That's
Did you have a nickname in high school?
They used gums, because I got big gums. But it was like, you know, it's actually, I have gingivitis, and it's a real condition.
Do you?
Yeah. But later. But then after I stopped playing basketball, now people call me Chrissy Bitch Hips because I got a fucking size 38 waist.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The New Yorkers, you always get nicknames that are really hurtful.
Bitch Hips.
Bitch Hips. Bitch. Yo, Chrissy Bitch Hips.
I used to work for this place. It was called the Baltimore Washington Auto Exchange. I was in college, and on days I didn't have class and then summers and shit, weekends, I would work at this place where it was all cars.
Okay.
It was a auction, you know?
Okay.
And if you got there early, the first 10 people that got there that wanted it would get a license plate, a tag
okay.
with magnets on it. And you would be driven in a van from their lot to they had two lots. One was called do you remember Luskin's? Did you guys have Luskin's?
No. What's Luskin's?
Were they like Tufskin's?
No, it was a store. I don't know if they were like electronics and furniture and you know what I mean? Like a Sears, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So there was a lot there, and there was another one called the Covey lot. And we had this guy that would drive us. And we would get there early. I would get there. This is the only job I ever was like, I'm getting there ahead of fucking start time and get that tag. And it was all like, I'm 20, you know. These guys are.
Like your vision or?
I'm 20, man. These guys are in their 40s, laid off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Miserable and just, they're just trying to have a good time no matter what. Because all we're doing is being shuttled to this lot. We get a fat ass brand new Lincoln Continentals and
right.
we drive them from that lot back to the lot we were at. That's mm-hmm. what we did all day long.
Right.
If you didn't, you were getting in the hoopties
okay.
and driving them through the auction where people are trying to buy
right.
used cars and all that. And it's hot as shit. You're getting in the line with no air, no
right.
anything. But they called this guy that drove this poor dude. It's the worst nickname ever. They just called him Hog Dick. They called him. Hog. Was it Hog Dick? I think they kept calling him Hog Dick, and they kept saying, that's what they said. It's the first and the only time I've ever heard it again. They kept saying, you got bitch hips, Hog Dick. And
yeah.
I never heard bitch hips
bitch
in my
hips.
Life before that. Or
yeah. Chrissy bitch hips.
I didn't call you bitch hips.
Dude, it's fucked up.
You hold like two kids
shape.
Like this?
I used to be in really good shape, yeah. I used to be in good shape. But like now when
did you play college basketball?
I played college basketball.
Where?
Yeah. St. Joseph's. It was Division III. It's in Brooklyn.
Oh,
not
okay.
the Division I.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I played for the USBL, which is like semi-professional basketball.
First of all, that sounds semi-professional.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal. But then, you know, I went to all those tryouts to, like, play
Where's
overseas
Where's
that
and stuff. League? Where's the USBL?
It was in...
Like, where are you playing?
It was in... There was, like, a team in Brooklyn. There was a team in Philly. There was... Delaware.
And were you playing, like, at college places?
What was your home court?
LIU University's Brooklyn
LIU,
campus.
LIU, baby.
Yeah, Long Island University, Brooklyn campus.
Long Island University,
yeah.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, so...
Would you run point?
I guess, and I was like a shooting guard, but I was, for that team, I was on the bench, so that's why it was like a hard answer, because I was like, never really played, I was on the bench, but in college, I was the one and a two.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basketball was such a big part of my life growing up that like my friends who don't even know I do comedy or have just found out I started doing comedy, they like can't, because I was always like the basketball kid.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you were just known for being a basketball player. And now it's like such a non-factor in my life now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. You know, I just fucking do comedy and that's it. I should start playing basketball again, though.
I was going to ask you if you did.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. But I feel like I'm going to blow my knee out. Like, I had no fear when I was a kid.
It's
now
happen.
I have 100% fear.
Yeah. I stopped playing softball because of that.
Really?
Yeah. We had a buddy slide in a second. Granted, he should have been hustling on the play.
Yeah.
And he slid into second, dude, and he snapped in half.
Oh,
what's that?
Fuck.
What's that? The tibia?
Tibia.
That from your knee to your foot?
Tibia.
That one. I swear
you
to
saw
God.
It. You saw the leg mangled.
Oh, yeah. His whole thing. He knew immediately. Ambulance took him away. And
compound
then,
fracture?
Through the skin.
Woo!
Snapped it. Rehab. Year and a half. I think he still walks with a limp. At one point, he sent us a picture like after 4 months, and something had gone bad, dude. He looked like a Civil War. It was black.
Oh, boy.
Black and shit. It looked like, he had like he was going to lose it.
That's what you get for not hustling.
Yeah.
Man. That's what you get for not
Listen,
hustling.
Listen,
hey, was he out?
You know what's
was
great?
Was he safe or out?
You know what's great? Is when he was on first, there were two outs, and his leg had been hurting. And every time you scored, you'd go over and coach first.
Right.
I just scored, got over to coach first, and I look at him. I go, yo, do you want me to run for you? And he goes, no, I'm good. I'm like, you sure, dude? I mean, just do it. Like,
right.
And he goes, nah, I got it. Two outs.
Had the opportunity to get out.
Yep. Pop up to first. He just starts walking because he assumes the guy's going to catch it. It's fucking adult softball.
Right.
That thing's spinning. Guy drops it. He takes off for second. It's a close play. He slides late.
Done.
Oh.
And then I guess my buddy who went to the hospital said that when he got there, he's like, Larson had asked me if he wanted me to run. I said no. His whole life went downhill.
Yeah.
Well, next time you fucking hustle on two outs.
Hustle you always, dude.
On two outs, you're going
on contact.
That's it.
Contact,
you don't need to look around.
No
need to fucking hustle.
Yeah.
And what, you're still out in Brooklyn now? You got the whole families out there?
Yep, whole families in, we all live in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. My dad lives on Staten Island, which is like right over the, there's a bridge, the Verrazano Bridge that connects both. It's just all fucking dirtbag, old school New York. It's like old school New York boroughs that like where I grew, where I live. And I guess kind of, well, not where I grew up anymore because it's changed up, but where I live and where my father lives on Staten Island, it's like, it's that pocket of New York that all voted for Trump. So yeah. It's like that, it's like those guys were like, you know, they, I like, you know, especially like being in entertainment, you know, it's all like, you know, the millennials and like the left and all that, which I'm more closer to that, but you know, when I'm, when you're around like my dad and his friends, like sometimes the points that they make, I'm like, I agree with that, but I can't say that publicly, but I do silently yeah, agree right. with exactly what you're saying. Because I'm like, yeah, you know, but and now that I own a house that like I rent out to people, now I'm a little bit more like, yeah, like I want, now I look at the hipsters as I'm like, because at first when they come into a neighborhood, you know, they want to take over, they want this to change and that change, which at first you're like, what is happening? But now being a homeowner, I'm like, yeah, dude, bring your fucking quinoa, bring your flea markets. You know, you want, I can charge them like $5,000 because it's like two blocks from a train.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, dude, your fucking dad bankrolls you fucking 5 G's and they pay it. So it's good. It's good for me right now. But at first when the neighborhood started to change all of Brooklyn, we were just like, what's happening to the neighborhood? Why is every, why are these guys on fucking scooters? Why are there adult males on scooters right now? You know, just scooting up and down. But
and yeah. Where'd everybody go? Where'd all the original New
to
York?
To Bay Ridge.
That's,
we came out to Bay Ridge and then
way.
Over the bridge onto Staten Island, which is, you know, so, and it's weird because it's not, you know, you would think like, oh, it's an old school neighborhood, New York neighborhood. So you would think like, oh, it's just like, you know, whatever, like Italian guys, Irish guys. It's not. It's Italian and Middle Eastern. So you got Middle Eastern guys out there that sound and act like me, you know, like, but full blown, like his name is fucking Hassan Minaj Assad, you know, and he's just full blown, just like a dude that sounds like a fucking garlic knot, you know. So it's an interesting neighborhood, Bay Ridge. That's why, you know, I'm trying to put it on the map with the show that Giannis Pappas and I are doing. We're trying to sell it, but you know, truth is, we're two fucking straight white guys. They don't want us.
No.
Not right now. But that's okay. Shit changes.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
Your dad, is he like an original New York guy too, like born and raised Brooklyn or?
Born and raised in the Bronx, New York. Oh, Harlem. He's first born and raised in Harlem, which was like when in the 40s and 50s. Then the Bronx. Then when he met my mom, they moved to Brooklyn. He met my mom. My mom's like a very, very, very good person, highly educated lady. And my dad's like a street thug, legit criminal. Like not like, you know, oh, I went to jail for weed possession. My dad's like federal prison. You know, understand?
Did
like,
he go to federal
like,
prison?
Yeah, like actual crime, like 10 years.
Before you were born?
Yeah, well, before I was born for a long time, but then... well, a long time being like 5 years, but then when I was alive, like 6, 7, 8 years old for like two to three years. But he was like real, so it was like.
Can you tell us why he went in?
Yeah, he went for like he was involved in some like money laundering thing. Basically, I think he was a guy who, I don't know that he was necessarily in the mafia. I don't believe him to that he was, but he was like a bookie. Mm-hmm. And like was just involved in all those operations. He'd always be like, "Nah, you know, it wasn't me." I'm like, they have years of surveillance footage, just literally like the FBI. Yeah. It can't just constantly, like, he's like, you know, they got the wrong guy. I'm like, not 5 years in
Dad,
a row.
Dad, that's you in the tape. Yeah, watching right here
like,
on the news.
I have you on all different, I have you in fucking HD. So how my parents met was at a walkathon because my mom is like a really good person. She wanted to like give back and shit. So she was at this walkathon, and my dad was doing community service at the walkathon.
Shut your mouth,
yeah,
dude.
Calling all the guys walking in the walkathon homos. He was like, look at this fucking homo, as he's like picking up garbage. And my mom recants that story, retells that story. She's like, that's what he was. She was like, he was just this mook of a guy. She was like, just, you know, everybody else was wearing like, you know, whatever the neon green shirts that they have to wear, fucking corrections or whatever. And my dad just like had his shirt off. He's just like a fat mess with tits. And he was just calling everybody homos. And then he started talking to my mom. And he just was like following her like down the path.
Hold on a second. Can we talk about the fucking level of game?
I was about to say
this dude had to have
fucking homo.
Yeah.
Sup, girl? How you doing?
Not only that, you're working
shirt
like
off.
On
you're in prison.
Yeah. You're on like prison release community service, and you worked a girl.
Yep. Yep. And my mom was
Did
21
your mom
years
go to
old.
College?
Oh yeah, she went to LIU.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she went to LIU. And you know, so she had an education, and like I said, my dad, you know, got through eighth grade, I believe. And
barely.
And my mom was like 23, 24 years old. Never really had a boyfriend. Never
and how old was he?
34, maybe 35. And he was just talking to my mom, and my mom was like, you know, he was the last guy that I would ever date. Like, you know, her friends.
And also the first.
Yeah, yeah, truly.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
what's about to happen. And then he was like, you know, my mom was like, I don't know what happened. She was like, she was always raised to be like prim and proper. And she was like, you know, your dad represented this opposite of that and just a complete fucking dirtbag human being. And so they went out on like a couple of dates. And basically, you know, my mom being the Irish Catholic girl that she is, you know, is not supposed to be having premarital sex and none of that. And she conceived me on like the third or fourth date and then got married because, you know, she had
Are they
to.
Still together?
No,
oh.
They got divorced. Like, I think my mom served my dad divorce papers when I was like 2 or 3 months old. Like, they had like a marriage that lasted less than a year.
Yeah.
So.
What's the matter?
Yeah.
Can't even hear his plea to stay together.
Yeah, but then,
are you their only kid?
I'm their only child.
Okay.
And what happened was, is after that, my mom was hell bent on like, you are not going to end up like your father. You know, you better pronounce your words right. You're not going to end up with these fucking knuckleheads. Like, so she did. So she was always keeping me off the streets. And then, you know, fast forward, I meet a girl on the second or third date. She conceives
right.
my baby.
Yeah.
And then so when I went and told my mom that. She was like, I did all this stuff
right.
to keep you away from what your father was going to do. She's like, but then you turn around and did what I did. And I got myself pregnant on the third day, and you got this girl pregnant on the third day. She was like, you know, we can't escape it. But now it's all good because now everybody just loves my kid. And it's like brought my family like very, very
close.
That's
what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. But
do your parents get along when they're around each other?
When they're around each other, not. But when they didn't get along before my kid. Like, it was like huge fights.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, if you watch, I did David Letterman in 2013. And there's a moment about three minutes into the set where I look up. Like above the cameras, because there was a commotion in the.
Shut
yeah,
no.
My dad had started arguing with my mom about her being like dead center and not him. And then he was like, you know, he was talking because it was my dad. The people who came were my dad, my stepmom, my mom, and my good friend Luke. This kid Luke, who's he's my kid's godfather. And he was like, yeah, like the set was going, you know, fine. Like, we were watching, enjoying you, he said. And then all of a sudden, you know, my dad says to my mom, like, you never show up at his comedy shows. And now you're sitting dead center. He's like, it's fucking convenient. And like, you know, my stepmom, you know, this is from my friend Lucas telling me, and my stepmom's like, shh, you know, shh, he's on stage, shut up. And then they start
Paul
like,
Schaefer's looking over.
Yeah, yeah. He starts like, starts like yelling. Like, they got into like a mini argument where like my stepmom had to be like, shh. And the usher came down because it's fucking TV taping. Like,
yeah.
You get
the
live.
Usher came down.
Yes, but my friend Luke said that the people next to them, because they were all talking before the show, were like, that was their son. So he was like, you know, he let it go because they stopped right away. But I didn't know that happened until like a few weeks later when he told me. He was like, yeah, dude. Because I just saw a commotion. I didn't know it was my mom and dad fighting about who's in the fucking dead center
yeah, right.
of the set. You know, like, who gives a shit?
Well, does he come to your shows? He said it in a way like, you don't go to his shows.
Heckles,
well,
dude.
Well, what happened was is because I used to, I was a.
He's heckling out there.
Yeah, he's fucking heckling.
Heckling him on the ladder.
You're not telling it right.
Yeah. My dad, dude, my dad's fucking, he's like the ultimate heckler guy. Like, I remember I got, when I graduated physical therapy school, it was like a prestigious thing. You get like, have to get like a clinical doctorate
PT,
degree.
PT, baby, I know.
Yeah,
dude, you
got to
get a fucking clinical doctorate degree. So I was like with all these like, you know, high level kids or whatever. And my dad shows up to the college grad, to my doctorate fucking level graduation in a suit jacket with sweatpants. I swear to God, he's just in sweats, fucking suit jacket. you know, chain suit on, jacket. Like a dummy. So, yeah, like a dummy. It was like, you know, 1,000 degrees out, just dumbass. And then I'm walking across the stage, and he goes, "That's my son, Chrissy D." And people were like
screaming.
Yeah, screaming. And it's like an eloquent, like, thing,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And he's like, "That's my son, Chrissy D, baby." And then
hit the air horn.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like just white trash.
Silly strings.
White trash. But my dad was very supportive of me leaving physical therapy and pursuing stand-up comedy, and my mom was not. Because, you know, in the beginning, I was, like, leaving it to do, like, open mics, you know? Like, she was like, "Nobody believes in you." So I get that. But my dad always did. He was always like, "You can stay in my basement, do whatever, you know, like, whatever you want."
Don't even think about coming up in this kitchen, but you use that back entrance.
You use that basement. Yeah, because my dad was always like, you know, pursue what you want. He would always, like, have a message, like, but then it would be, like, dirtbag. Like, he was like, you know, you want to pursue your dream. And, you know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you do. You know, you're only going to be in your 20s once. He's like, and also stand-up comedy, you can bang a lot of chicks. So he would always, like, do that. And, you know, I do appreciate my dad a lot for that, because he just always was like, whatever you want to do, I support you. Because my dad's whole thing was like, I never got in trouble. I went all the way through school, played sports. I'm not gay. So my dad was a success. It was a big success.
Yeah, he did it.
Good Italian dads, that's all they do is worry if their kid's gay or not. Yeah. That's all they fucking do. My dad was always thinking I was gay, you know?
He thought you were?
Yeah, but because, like, you know, there's just – he's on top of shit. Like, you know, my mom's, like, a very healthy eater. It's like if I wanted to, you know, eat something healthy, fruits and stuff, and like, what do you want to stick this in your ass? It's like, no, I want
to eat. Because he wants to eat.
No, it's like I couldn't, you know, if I wanted antioxidants, it's like, oh, I also wanted to suck cock, you know? So – he would, I mean, dude, I remember being in Little League.
This fucking queer's asking me for vitamins now. Jesus Christ.
I got hit by a pitch, and I remember, like, I was, like, crying at home plate, just fucking collapsed, crying at home plate. And my dad was, like, rubbing my back, walking me to first base. But, like, from the dugout or from the stands, you'd be like, oh, this is just, like, a good dad. And he was just, like, whispering in my ear. He was like, "You're fucking embarrassing me. You're embarrassing our family. Stop fucking crying, you little bitch."
How old are you?
He was like, "You're not a little girl. Are you a little girl?" He's like, "Should I call you Chrissy or Christopher? Is it Chrissy?" And I'm like, "No,
I'm gonna call you that. It's physical therapy, fucking.
It's Chris." Yeah, I was like nine. I was like nine years old. Yeah, dude. My dad has this theory too.
How far did you go in baseball?
Not far. Like, I played high school. That's it.
Yeah.
My dad has this theory where if you're a guy and you go by your full name, like your full name,
all three names.
No, like right now, like
I'm, Michael.
Like, yeah, if you call yourself Michael, you're gay. 100% gay, but if you're Mike, then you're straight. So I had an Uncle Russell, who wound up coming out of the closet about 5 years ago, and my mom and dad were having coffee since my daughter was born, because, like I said, they're civil now, about a year ago. And, you know, my dad's not in the loop with, you know, my mom's side of the family anymore. Yeah, not anymore. So my mom was like, "Oh, yeah, you know, Russell's, husband." And my dad goes, "Oh, I knew he was gay from day one." And my mother's like, "What are you talking about?" She was like, "Because when he introduced himself to me as Russell." And I was like, "Guys are queer." And she was like, "That's not true." He's like, "It's not true."
That's not true.
He was like,
"Was he or was he not in that march with you, that walk when I first met you? Was he not?"
Yeah. No, well, that's what my dad said. My dad was like, "It's not true." He's like, "Does he not have a husband? You just told me he has a fucking husband." Exactly. He's gay. His name's Russell. And I was like, you know, the theory kind of holds up.
Does he do that with football? But like Russell Wilson, does he go through football?
Absolutely, yeah. Homo, yeah. Anybody who's not on the New York Giants is just a homo.
Right, that's
just everybody's gay. Like, the biggest honor that I hosted this show on Netflix with Tiki Barber. And like my dad, like a fucking tear fell from his eye, because he was like, you know, it's a New York Giants player.
He's the just biggest support. Fucking, yeah. When he walked on that team too, remember?
Absolutely, yeah. But my dad forgets about that shit. If he wore the blue, if big blue, my dad's in. Yeah. it's so silly.
You were 1,800 and then 1,600, right? Back to back and then retired?
Yep. Yeah.
And if he did like one more year or maybe two more years, he'd be like top three all time.
Yeah, because Tiki Barber is one of the smartest men I've ever been around in my whole life, because he just knew he wanted to prevent any more injury, any head injury, and he knew he had enough money in the bank to like invest. He was already making investments, and he's like one of like the richest men, like in post and like the NFL retired guy. He's like tripled his money. He buys like parking garages and shit. Like,
hell yeah,
he's just so good. He has like investment companies.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great.
Or he goes like a frozen yogurt shop, man.
Probably does.
Tiki's.
Does he really?
No. Tiki's.
Tiki torches.
Yeah. your dad a Yankees fan or a Mets fan? He's got to be Yankees.
Big Yankees. When I was a physical therapist, I got him. He needed a knee replacement, and he got I got him in touch with like the best, one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the whole state. Because he was working with the physical therapy firm I was associated with, and my dad, we were in there, you know, it was great. He was going to do the thing, and my dad was like, well, who's your squad? You know, Yankees or Mets? And then he was like, the guy's like, I don't really watch sports. So my dad was fucking gay. Like, that's another thing. My dad thinks you're gay if you don't like sports.
You have to like sports.
Yeah, I swear to God, you have to like sports, or else my dad thinks that you just suck cock. It's ridiculous, but it's just how he is. And the guy was like, I don't really like him. My dad was like, oh, well, if you had to pick a team, he's like, if I had a gun to your head, when you had to pick a team, who would be
like this one right here?
Yeah, bang. He's like, I guess the Mets. And then my dad was like, okay. And then we left. And I was like, you know, my dad already had this surgery scheduled for like the next week, and he canceled it. That my dad was like, he went with another surgeon. That's no how real my way. I swear to God, that's how low IQ my dad has. Where he's gonna pick a doctor based off their sports teams.
Oh shit. Yeah. After the guy already said he really wasn't even a fan, he's just throwing some shit.
Yep. And now my dad still to this fucking day has problems with that knee. I'm like, yeah, because you just went to some fucking, you went to like DeVry Institute to get a doctor to fix your knee just because he was a Yankees fan. So it's stupidity. But what am I going to do? He's 70 years old.
That is hilarious. Yeah, he's 70, you said?
Well, he had me at 38. I'm 33, so 71.
71.
Yeah, yeah.
You go to games? You ever go to Yankees games with him?
Oh, big time. My dad, that was like the reward. If I did well in school or, you know, did what I was supposed to, I was taking, you know, a Yankee game or a Knicks game or Giants game. It was always a game. That's where he would, like, you know, give me like his wisdom on shit, and like dad talks. It was always, we're going to a game. I was actually at Dwight Gooden's no hitter in 1996. My dad my dad doesn't have Yankee season tickets. He was at Dwight Gooden's no hitter, David Cone's no hitter, and David Wells' perfect game. He was he was fucking there at all three. It's nuts. But yeah, man, when we were at Dwight Gooden's no hitter, I was like 12. Yeah, I was 12 years old. And like we were sitting in the upper deck, and like in the fifth or sixth inning, my dad started to realize, like, he was like, this guy's going to pitch a fucking no hitter. So this, like I said, 96.
And anybody who says he is.
Yeah.
His shirt's off and shit. Yeah.
This is pre 9/11, so it's a different New York. So my dad, he's like, I want to get us better seats. So I was like, okay. So we go down to like right behind home plate, and my dad's like, he's like, listen to me. He's like, I'm gonna get us behind home plate, but you just got to listen to me and do what I tell you to fucking do. And I was like, okay. So he goes up to the security guard.
And you're how old?
12.
12.
So he goes to the security guard, and he says, you know, we got any seats behind home plate, boss? My dad calls everybody boss. He's like, you got any seats behind home plate, boss? And the guy's like, no, there's not. It's all sold out. He goes, what about for a retarded kid? And the guy's like, huh? He goes, my son is retarded. What about for that? Then he just looks at me, and he like looked at me like as if to say, like, you know, act.
Get the show going. Yeah.
But the craziest thing is I didn't know what to do. Kind of was just like, I just looked at the security guard, and the security guard bought it. So just my regular look, I look like I had special needs. So we go. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. We go. Yeah, that's a true, like, so, and, you know, my dad just throws that word around. He was just saying retarded, I guess, because 96, and my dad just doesn't care. But so then we go behind home plate, and Mr. Perfect, the wrestler Mr. Perfect, is sitting in that area. So I realize I'm 12.
Mr. Perfect, is that Paul? No, Mr. Wonderful's Kurt.
No, I think Mr. Perfect's Kurt Hennig, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So
that's
my dad, so I see him, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, Dad, that's Mr. Perfect. And, you know, I was just excited about the game, but I kept, like, looking at Mr. Perfect. He's like, you want this guy's autograph? And I was like, yeah, but I don't have a pen. I don't have, you know, whatever. And my dad was like, I'll get you his autograph. So my dad's, like, asking people, like, behind him. He's like, who's got a pen? Anybody got a pen? Anybody got a pen? And somebody gives my dad a pen. And then my dad gives, I was holding the ticket. He says, give me your ticket. So he walks up to Mr. Perfect, like, you know, scoots onto his row, and he goes, hey, Mr. Perfect.
Into his row.
Yeah, he goes, hey, Mr. Perfect.
It's a grown man calling him Mr. Perfect.
Literally, I heard this exact thing. He goes, well, actually, you know what's funny? he dropped the mister. He just kept calling him Perfect.
Oh, that's
He was like, perfect, perfect. He goes, listen, because, again, my dad just doesn't care.
Your dad,
he is the celebrity as far as he's concerned. He's New York to the fullest. So yeah, absolutely. Him,
who the
as
fuck
long
are
as he's
you?
In, he's in yeah. New York. Yeah, he me. Is the famous
yeah.
guy. Right.
Yeah, because and he says this to Mr. Perfect.
He's not calling another grown man Mr. No. He just called him Perfect.
Yeah, he says, so he says to Perfect.
No, hold on a second. I just have to talk about that for a second because yeah. it is mine. Mm-hmm. You're using Mr. because you're a kid.
Yeah.
And you're being polite. And he's just like, if you were like, that's Mr. Ron.
Yeah.
He'd be like, hey, Ron. Yeah. Ron. Oh, dude.
He
is
just thought his name was Perfect. Yeah. That's like one time my dad saw my dad. I was with my dad and my Uncle Johnny. We were at Joe's Pizza in the West Village, like very famous pizzeria. My dad and uncle used to take me down there. I was with my other little cousins too, my Uncle Johnny's daughters. We're all sitting there, and Steven Tyler was in the pizzeria and with his manager, something like that. And my dad and my uncle are like talking, you know, eating pizza. I don't even know who Steven Tyler is. I was a little kid, and my dad, Steven Tyler's going up to leave, and my dad and uncle realize that they know him. So my dad puts his hand on Steven Tyler's chest, like blocks him from exiting. He goes, you're the fucking singer, aren't you? and then Steven Tyler, I swear this is all happening in front of me. Steven Tyler's like, yes. He goes, yeah, you fucking, and then my uncle goes, Bon Jovi.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they're like, fucking Bon Jovi. You're Bon Jovi. He goes, I like your work, man. You're a fucking good singer. And they're like, literally, like, you know, assaulting Steven Tyler. But that would only happen in New York.
Right.
Because, like you said, like, to New Yorkers, like, the celebrities are cool. But to these Italian guys, it's like, yeah, like you said, they're the celebrities. So with Mr. Perfect, he keeps calling him Perfect. And then he says to him, he says, my son wants an autograph. He knows who you are. He goes, I don't know who the fuck you are. But my kid wants an autograph. He says,
you've got to throw that little yeah. fucking
which
thing
is,
in.
That's all
dig,
ego,
dig,
you know,
right.
bullshit.
Yeah.
So Mr. Perfect is like, no. I mean, he just says no. So then my dad is like, my kid really wants an autograph. And then, you know, there was something happened. I think Doc Gooden struck somebody out, or there was like a nice play. I remember like
you had told me off mic that your dad like got upset that Mr. Perfect was sitting front and center, and he wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So the crowd like looked at the stadium. You know, something happened, and then when we come back, like when we came back, focus. My dad was and Mr. Perfect were pushing each other.
Come on,
I swear to God, like pushing, actually
pushing
Mr. Perfect. And it got broken up very quickly, of course. You know, ushers came down or whatever. And then my dad said that, you know, the usher was like, what fucking happened? And my dad said, I didn't hear this, but my dad said on the subway later, my dad said that he told the usher, the security guard there, that Mr. Perfect was making fun of me because I was retarded. And he just was defending his son's honor, which is all a lie. I don't have special needs. I'm sure that that's not what happened at all. But that's the way so it's like my dad, the thing with my dad is he tries to do really good things, but mm-hmm. he has really bad ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So the thing that my dad wanted was
good heart, bad intentions.
Exactly. My dad wanted me to be close to the action of a no-hitter. He wanted me to live that as his son.
Or he wanted to be.
Or he wanted to be. But he wanted me to, I think, experience something cool with him. But the only way he felt he could do that is by making other people believe that I had special needs. So that's just how. So can you say he's all the way a bad guy? I don't think you can.
Yeah.
But I can see how people would be like, this guy's I fuck this guy.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just the way he thought about it. Because he just has an illegal mind. He was always looking, not anymore, he's in his 70s.
Yeah.
He's always just looking for the loophole around shit. You know, we never waited on lines. He was always like, I'm just going to figure out a way. Well, I don't want to wait on a line. We don't do that. And, you know, and so my mom was hell bent on making sure I don't turn out that way. So I don't think I did. I think I still have some of him inside me, of course, but I'm more like my mom.
What's like a yeah. real good one he would do? Like, what's a good move that you could still use? You use any of them?
He would anytime, like at the airport, like he would always take me down to Florida. If there's like a long security line, he would always say he's late for the flight. Always late for the flight.
And they would just let him go right up.
Let him right in. Yeah, they don't check tickets. He's like, oh, I'm late for the flight. I'm sorry. He apologized to everybody. You know, he's got his hand in. Can me and my son just go in front? We're late for the flight. The fucking traffic. You wouldn't believe. Like, it's all the bullshit. And people just don't want to deal with it. They're like,
right.
just go.
Yeah, get the hell.
Especially then, they see him coming.
Yeah,
right.
And it's just one, and then you just keep going. I don't do that because I just get, like, embarrassed about it. But, like, I That's one that he constantly uses. We never wait in airport security lines with him. And now, forget it. Now, because he's got both knees replaced, he's in a fucking wheelchair. He's getting carted through the airport, but he can walk. You know?
My go-to is...
he can.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. My go-to is, even when they call, like, once they call that first zone, no matter what I am, because if I don't have status anymore, I usually have status, I just walk up. Because I have it on my phone, and I just start conversation. I'm like, you guys have slammed today, huh? And they go, dude. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, have a great day.
Yeah.
And just boom, you're in.
You're in. Done. Yeah.
Done.
You said there was something happening with your dad and your high school principal, something like that?
Oh, yeah. What happened with
Byron Allen over here?
Well, he's talking about it before, and it's on his list right here.
Oh, yeah. But some of this shit's not even on my list. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, dude.
Yeah.
By the way, that wasn't Byron Allen. I'm staying in the dad zone. That would be like me right now going,
I just like how
you like tennis shoes.
I just like that.
Dude, Byron Allen bought the Weather Channel.
That's right. Everybody wants to make fun of Byron Allen. And Byron Allen's laughing all the way to the motherfucking bank.
He's one of the richest guys, yeah.
No doubt.
He sure
good for Byron Allen.
Dude.
That's the game.
Yeah.
That is the game.
Yeah, you want
Byron Allen just won.
Own the weather.
Yeah.
Own the weather. It's not the juice. It's fucking Byron Allen.
Own the weather.
What happened was, this is an example of a way that I have a little bit of my dad in me. So 9/11 happened, right? I was a senior in high school, and my mother worked in the World Trade Center in the second tower that was hit. So she survived. Everything was okay. But when it all happened, the kind of, you know.
Wait, so she got out after the first one?
Man. Yeah, the first one hit, and then certain floors, certain companies, you know, realized that it was a terrorist attack and just let everybody leave. But then the people who wound up dying, because they thought that it was like a minor earthquake, or they thought they'd be safer in the building than on the ground. But my mother's boss was like, no, I think something bad's going to happen. We need to leave. So she evacuated right away.
What floor was she on?
Like the 85th.
Damn.
100% would have not been here. They all got out right away because there was like at least 10 minutes in between both planes.
Yeah, I had a really good friend that worked in the second one too, and he saw what happened in the first one, and the security guard's like, it's no big deal. He's like, shit looks like a big deal.
Pretty big
and
deal.
He walked out.
Yeah.
And he got the fuck out of there. He said, I was eating a bagel, and I was just like,
changed the world forever.
Going back up in that fucking building.
You know what's nuts? Like, stories that, like, you hear, like, with people just getting saved or just, like, weird stuff. You're like, that has to be more than a coincidence. My mom said, every day, she's working in that building for 15 years, every single day she would get coffee from the coffee vendor right outside the building on the corner, a Middle Eastern guy. Every day, nicest guy. She said, you know, we would talk. She's like, every single day she would just get the coffee from there. It was her routine. The only time in her memory that he wasn't there was on 9/11. So she's like, I don't know if he knew something or it was just, was that a major coincidence? She's like, I have no idea. Then there's this other kid who I went to high school with, this kid John. His mom and dad worked at Cantor Fitzgerald, the firm that they lost 100% of the floor. Everybody died in that firm. Everybody was on the floor. 100, everybody. If you were on that floor, you died. So they were always on time for work, like anally on time, 8 o'clock in the morning they were there every day. And they were going through major marital issues. So on that morning, it was a beautiful morning on 9/11, they were like, you know what? They were like, John Amato's dad was like, I want to get a divorce, but like, let's talk about this. We'll go into work a little bit later. They were outside the World Trade Center, and they decided to get coffee and bagels and sit in the park, and because it was such a beautiful day, and talk about the divorce. And then the building hit, and every single one of their coworkers was killed. So I'm like,
did they get back together?
Shit. They did not. No, that the divorce.
No sense being too nice.
That's what. Well, they. Well, like, you know, it was funny because John said, like, his mom viewed it as, like, that's a reason for us to be together. But his dad was like, this is even more of a reason.
Right.
It's like, yeah, the fucking, you know, like, that's a sign from God. They don't want us together. So what happened was, is I started to get, when the plane, they told us the planes hit, I knew my mom where she worked. So I started to cry because I was just like, she's dead, whatever. And we were in social studies
crying,
class.
You're embarrassing me, little bitch.
Yeah, I heard my dad going, faggot. You know, I heard my dad come on the loudspeaker, my son's gay. Stick it in his ass, Christopher. So I started to cry. And this kid, Frank, started to laugh at me because it's an all-boy Catholic high school. It's like, I get, you know, he's like.
What was the name of the high school?
Archbishop Molloy high school. So he started to laugh at me, which I fucking get. Like, you know, we're 17 years old, whatever. But, you know, the emotions of that day, he starts to laugh at me, and I broke a chair right over his head.
Fuck,
like, yeah, we sat
like Mr. Perfect, baby.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
We sat in these detached chairs from the desk, like, you know, like folding chairs, and I just fucking smashed it right over his head. So I got thrown out of school. Like, of course, like, you know, you're going to get thrown out of school for that. So when I get...
Listen, we'd love to keep you around, but you did break a chair over a kid's head.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, at first I was, like, trying to, you know, I was like, I'm sorry, like, whatever, and they were, you know, it's like a big thing, and they were like, no, you know, you're thrown out, expelled. So Wednesday, school was closed, and then Thursday, I just tried to walk back into school like nothing happened. I was just like, I'm just, because I didn't tell my mom or dad, so I was just like, I'm just going to go back to school. Like, I got dressed. My mom was like, come on, honey, it's time for school. I was like, oh, shit. So I went, walked in, and then as soon as I got, like, 2 feet in, and the principal was like, DeStefano, you're expelled. Okay, I was like, oh, you remembered? You remember that I put that kid in a coma? So I call my father. I remember I had like a little bullshit Nokia. I call my father and I was like, Dad, look, I just got expelled. I'm really sorry. And he goes, well, the good news is you didn't get expelled. That's the first words out of his mouth. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean I got expelled? He goes, no, you didn't. I'm coming down there right now. I'm going to make sure you don't get expelled. I was like, please don't come down here. He goes, I'm coming down there. And he lived on Staten Island, which is like, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Staten Island's probably like, you know, same thing as LA. It's like 15, 20 miles away, but it'll take you 2 hours. Right. It's just fucking traffic, wherever. He's like, I'm going to be down there in 20 minutes. This guy shows up like 25 minutes later from Staten Island. I'm like, well, how the fuck did you get here? And he's like, don't worry about it. We walk into the principal's office.
I was doing something crooked in the neighborhood.
What
did happen to the kid?
I hit him in the head with a chair, and he, like, you know, was all, like, you know, fucked up, bleeding from his head, and
he knocked out.
No, he didn't knock out, but he was, like, you know, woozy. So, like, the nurses, you know, we have nurses in the school. They, you know, it was so much commotion that, like, I honestly don't know what happened after that, because I got taken apart. There are people. Everybody was, there's chaos in the hallways, you know, because what wound up happening.
Paul Schaefer's playing.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because so many, because the high school that I went to is like all like I said, it's like old school New Yorker. So it's all cops and firemen's kids.
Right.
So like there was, must have been about 30 people, fathers that died just from my class.
Wow.
So,
Jesus.
Yeah. So there was a lot of shit going down because it was a big problem, you know, for us. So I kind of got lost in the commotion. So on Thursday, my dad comes. It's like a waiting room, waiting for the principal to talk to the principal for whatever reasons. And my dad just walks me. He's holding my wrist, my dad. He just walks me into the principal's office. And the principal's on the phone. Like, I'll never forget this. He was on the phone, probably taking a really important call about somebody's dad who died. And my dad's, the guy's on the phone. And my dad goes, hey, can I talk to you? And the principal's like, what? I'm on the phone. And my dad goes, yeah, I know, but I need to talk to you. And the principal says, you need to wait outside. And my dad just hangs up his phone.
No.
Just puts his fingers on the receiver and hangs up the phone. So my dad goes, now you're not on the phone. Can I talk to you? And this is all happening like live in front
Jesus
of me.
Christ.
It's happening like I'm watching this happen in slow motion. So my dad says, because again, he's a criminal. He's got like that crooked language. So he says, my son allegedly hit somebody in the head with a chair. That's what he said. He goes, my son allegedly hit somebody in the head with a chair, and I've heard that you've expelled him. And the principal says, yeah, that's right. He's been expelled because he hit somebody in the head with a chair. And my dad goes, there's got to be another way we can resolve this. And the principal says, there's no other way. And then my dad takes out a wad of cash, and he throws it at the principal. He goes, is there another way? And the principal says, are you going to bribe a man of God? And then I'll never forget this. My dad said, I lost God September 21st, 1979. I have no idea what that date still to this day means. I know he was in prison.
September 21st, 1979.
And I still to this day don't want to know what it means, but I kind of think I know what it means. But he was very specific about that date. And then he like took a moment, you know, he was like, and then he came back and he was like, let's think of another plan. And the principal, he didn't know my dad at all. My dad had never even been to the school before. Anything I had dealt with me was dealt with my mother. And so the principal says, yeah, there's no other way. And my dad goes, there's got to be another way. And then the principal says, sir, are you stupid? there's no other way. Because he was getting fed up. I get it. And my dad goes, do you just call me stupid? He looked at me and he was like, Chris, did he just call me stupid?
Shut up.
Yeah. And I was like, no, hablo inglés. I just didn't know. And then he goes, okay. And then he goes, Chrissy, lock the door.
Lock the door.
I swear to God.
It's Bronx Tale.
Lock the door.
Glass window, Dad.
Yeah.
We told you to leave. Now you just can't leave.
Lock the door. Well, you know what's funny, too, is last year I had a sitcom pilot with CBS, and Chaz Palminteri played my father in the sitcom.
That's perfect.
Yeah, because, you know.
Did you tell him that story?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Chaz, God. He wanted to have dinner with them. He had dinner with them. Yeah. And they hung out. They're like friends now.
Oh, that's great.
Chaz is like, jeez, I never should have dinner with this guy.
I know. Well, Chaz, yeah, because he was like, oh, normally I get these scripts and it's all like, you know, he's like, but this guy has fucking character, your father. He's a fucking character. I was like, oh, okay. So my dad says, Chrissy locked the door. So then my dad looks at the principal, and it was like the calmest that my dad was the whole time. Like, because there was a little quiver in my dad's voice.
You went over and locked it? You did it?
I did it, yeah. I mean, I'm at a point.
Oh, you got
to
side with your dad.
Still to this day, he's got, like, even though, like, he's double knee replacement on fucking dialysis, 72 years old, like, I'm still scared he'll beat the shit out of me. You know, I still just have that fear where I'm like, if he fucking connects with me, it's over. He punched me once. My dad only had to discipline me once, one time in my whole life. Just one time he had to do it because I'd call my mother a bitch when I was 15 years old. So my dad came from Staten Island and
21 minutes.
Yeah,
like, I'm the only one to say that shit.
Yeah. He's like, listen, your mother is a bitch, but you can't say that. But my dad my dad lives life very simply. He's like, you know, you call your mother a bitch, you call a woman a bitch that's acting like a man. So you're a man now. And I said, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm 15, whatever I said. And then, you know, just snap a finger, my dad just fucking uppercutted me. And
holy
uppercut,
shit.
Like a full uppercut from a grown man. And I was woozy, you know, fell down on the floor. And my dad was like, you know, you want to use words like a man, you're going to get hit like a man. So he was like, why don't you go apologize to your mother or you may get hit again. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. You know, I was like, you're in my
teeth out
yeah,
your hand.
Yeah. So my dad's looking at the principal and he says, and I remember this verbatim because it was like being, you know, sketched in my mind because I couldn't believe this because I was fucking 10 out of 10 nervous. I mean, this is crazy that it's happening. And my dad's like, now you have two options. He goes, the first option is I'm going
to
come
principal.
Up to the principal. He's giving the principal options. Mind you, the principal's in a, like, he's a priest. So he's in a, like, a robe with a, you know, white
collar.
So this is this is a man of God.
All right, and at this point, is he nervous? What would you say
my dad?
The priest. Where is he at now that the door is locked?
The priest cannot believe what's happening. Yeah. The priest
rubbing his rosary like a motherfucker.
The priest truly cannot believe what's happening.
He's just throwing holy water around.
We're both equally as fucking frightened. But the good news, like, I guess a little less frightened because, like, I'm not going to get hurt, you know? So my dad says to the priest, he says, you have two options. He goes, the first option, and he goes, the first option is really not the option you should go with. But it is an option. He goes, the first option is I come over there and I beat the shit out of you. And then he said to him,
to a priest,
he said, I'll beat the shit out of you. He said, because the truth is, I'd rather go to jail for the rest of my life where all my friends are than you throw him out and me have to listen to his mother's fucking mouth for the rest of my life.
He said, I swear to God.
He said, I'm not free if you throw him out. So I'd rather go where my friends are. That's what he said. And he goes, in the second option, you're just going to put my son back in school. He goes, I would pick the second option, but it's up to you. I'll give you 1 minute. He goes, I'll give you 1 minute. Is that enough time, sir? He called him sir. I'll never forget he called him sir at the end. He goes, is that enough time, sir? And then like immediately the principal is like, well, let's put him back in school. Because the principal just didn't want to get hurt, you know?
So yeah, and clearly he saw that your dad wasn't fucking around.
Yeah. So
what do you do with the cash?
Well, no, he pushed it away. And then what happened was my dad told me to sit back down and unlock the door. And the principal says, well, you know, he needs to be disciplined, though. Like, he absolutely has to be disciplined. And my father says, I agree. So the principal says, okay, well, he's going to get detention before and after school. So I have to be at school an hour early and stay an hour after for the remainder of the school year. So it was September. So it was the entire year. And he's thrown off the basketball team. And my dad was like, that's fair. And I was like, fuck, you know. I want to play ball.
What
Dad.
Was the suspension?
Beat his ass.
How long was the suspension? Oh, they were going to kick you out indefinitely?
I was expelled from the school.
Gotcha.
But I never got permanently thrown out of the school, but yes. I never got what happened was there was no, I didn't even get suspended. I just got detention for the entire year.
2 hours a day.
2 hours Damn. A day and thrown
and
out.
Off the team.
Yeah, and thrown out of.
They took something that hurt.
Took something that really hurt.
Yeah.
But my dad was like, this is what's fair. You didn't get thrown out. And my mother only found out about all of that about a year or two ago.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't come to ball games? Like, what did she say about you not playing basketball?
My dad told her I failed off because my grades were slipping a little bit at that time.
Yeah.
So my dad told her I failed off. So that was it. She really didn't come to too many of my basketball games. You know, yeah. She was supportive, but she was like, you know, she didn't want to come to the games.
Or your stand-up sets.
Yeah, no, nothing. Yeah. Does my mom kind of suck? Fuck.
Yeah. How did she find out? What made it come up?
Comedy. She heard it on like a podcast or something. And then because that was my dad's thing. He was like, I don't want your mother to know about this. And the principal was like, I don't want anybody to know about this. So.
What about the kids' parents? They didn't raise hell that you were allowed still at the school? Or
my dad said that he would make it right with Frank's dad. So that's what he did.
And you don't have any idea making it right.
I know he paid for his medical bills. I'm sure I'm sure he gave him cash more than that. And I think, yeah, my dad's just kind of an intimidating.
Heard he got him seats like behind home plate at the Yankee game.
Yeah, he got a Mr. Perfect autograph.
Come with the bandage on your head. I can get you good seats.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the time.
Is he a big dude? Is he a menace?
No.
But he's just got that Tony Soprano swagger.
Well, all the stuff with my dad being like a tough guy happened, most of it, almost all of it, besides the story I just told, happened before like I was born or when I was very young. So I kind of always knew there was like something going on with my dad and my uncles and all that, but I never asked questions. I didn't care. That's why, like, anytime I hear somebody be like, you know who my fucking father is? I'm like, if your father was anybody, you would have said nothing because you're not proud of it. You know, like, it's not like it's cool in the movies, but like when it's your life, you're like, oh man, this sucks. You know, where you're just like, oh God, what the fuck? You know, all you see is people who are unhappy. You know, that's all you see is divorced wives, people getting beat up. You're like, oh man, I don't want this shit in my life. But yeah, he's better. I mean, he's 70 years old now. So now he's just, you know, all about fucking just watching sports, watching my, you know, kid coming to my shows.
And he's remarried.
He got remarried to my stepmom when I was about 2 or 3 years old.
And they're still together?
Still together.
Wow.
30 years.
What's she like that she puts up with that?
She's great. She's
the opposite of him?
She's the opposite in a way. She's from, her brother was like killed, like organized crime related. I think her father was in and out of jail. So she understood the life, but she's not, you know, she's very much like anti everything. She's a great, great lady, my stepmom. But yeah, they've been together for a long, long time, you know, puts up with his shit, you know, cause my dad's the kind of guy, like, you know, like when I was having problems with my kid's mom, you know, cause my kid's mom is like a beautiful, beautiful girl. I'm like, you know, I would be like sitting in the, you know, living room with my dad and my stepmom, and my dad be like, look at this fucking girl half naked over here on Instagram. You don't want a girl like this, Christopher. I'm telling you, you don't want a girl like this. And then like an hour later, he would like her pics, you know, like, you know, and then like, and like, you know, and like, so like, he's just good. And my dad was just one of those guys, like, oh, like he always tells my stepmom that he's going to trade her in for 2 25-year-olds. She's like, I'd like to see you fucking try, you fat ass motherfucker. Like, she doesn't like get mad or get offended. She just gives it back.
So
that's why my mother would get offended. So my mother wasn't the right lady for him.
Right.
You need a guy. You have to let him be him. You know, and just fucking understand he means nothing by it.
And what you told me off mic that he met your stepmom at an AIDS walk. Where did he meet her?
No, he met my mother.
No, I know. And then, but I think you said off mic that he met her at like, I think you said it was like a MS bike ride or something.
No, what are you talking about?
I just think it'd be funny if he met her, at some other event.
Yeah.
At like a boat launch or something. He was fucking cleaning up the harbor.
No, I actually think he met my, stepmom, if I'm correct. He was feeding pigeons. I swear to God, my dad was like throwing birds at pigeons and hit my stepmom with the bread. And she's like, what the fuck?
And then that was his game.
That's it. They locked eyes and he was like, oh, what's, you know, and that's it.
I can tell you, Chris, he cost me $1.25 for that loaf of bread, but it was worth it.
It was worth it, met your stepmother. But my dad, again, like, even though him and my mom had problems my whole life, he's always like, because she's my mom, it's all about respect with my dad. It's the big thing is respect. So I remember I was like 14, 15 years old, and my mom was dating this guy. First of all, my mom started dating, like, I had a core group of friends, me, my friend Ian, Sean, Kieran, and Brian. And my mom started dating Brian's dad at 15 years old, which is like the worst fucking thing that could happen.
Man.
Dude, 15 years old, like, we would be like smoking weed in the garage, and then somebody would be like, yo, what do you think Chris's mom is doing? And somebody else would be like, banging Brian's dad, you know? And then it would just be like fucking swings, you know, going nuts. So it was brutal for me. It was like a brutal year. But my dad, this guy, my mom's boyfriend at the time, Brian's dad, dumped my mom and started dating a woman across the street, like directly across the street.
Jesus.
Like I'm talking about like across the street, not like an LA street either, like an old school, like a Northeast, like 1700 street.
Right.
Like real, like, I mean, you could almost touch her house, start dating that woman. So she would sit like every time, you know, on the weekend, my mom would like sit and just look out the window because she was like all upset and she's like all fucked up by it. And so one time my dad came up the stairs to get me, take me back to Staten Island, and he saw my mom sitting out the window. And then I was playing video games in my room, and my dad's like, what the fuck is wrong with your mother? Why is she just looking out the window? He goes, is she going batshit? My dad would always say, is she going batshit? And I'm like, no, you know, Jim broke up with her and dating the guy across the street. And he goes, oh, really? And I go, yeah. And he goes, she's upset by that? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, would you do anything? And I'm like, no.
What would you do?
Yeah, I was like, what do you want me to do? And then he goes, all right. He goes, I'm going to go get some bagels, all right? He goes, don't come downstairs. And
I love your dad.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, all right. And I just wasn't paying attention. I was like playing video games. Like I just, and I was like aloof. I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I just thought he was going to get bagels. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to come downstairs. Like, I don't give a fuck. And then, you know, 15 minutes go by and I hear my mother screaming, Tony, you're going to kill him. Stop it. Stop it. Yelling out the window. So then I run downstairs. My dad had rang the bell across the street near the woman, the woman's home. And very politely, he was like, oh, can I please speak to Jim? He was a painter. The guy, Jimmy's like, he painted my house. I just want to give him, I forgot to tip him. So my
Jim's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Jim's like, oh yeah. So he comes down, whatever, and my dad, according to my mom, you know, I didn't see it. My dad immediately grabbed him by his shirt, you know, kicked him up against his steps and just was fucking throwing haymakers at his face and like really roughed him up bad and was just like, you know, whatever he said. But it was like a message like, don't fucking, you're done with this woman because you hurt my kid's mom. And then
even though he didn't love her,
he didn't love my mom. Yeah, no. Yeah, well, I'm sure he's always
on
loved
principle.
My, he loved my mom.
Yeah, not in
I think he also liked fucking people up.
He was like, that's a little bit of that.
He had a couple
that's
of good
real
ones.
Love was.
And my dad, and I remember, you know, that happened. And my mom was like really, you know, angry and whatever. And it was like some commotion for a few minutes. And my dad, you know, was like, all right, you know, sorry, calm down, whatever. And then my dad went to the bathroom. And my mom was like, oh God. She was like, he's such a fucking idiot, your dad. She was like, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he did that. And then like some like moments went by and she was like, you know, your dad's a good guy. There are some things I want you to learn from your father. And then I remember when my dad drove me to Staten Island back to his house because it was my weekend to be with him on Staten Island. You know, that day we were driving and he was just listening to The Fan, which is 660. It was like they play the Yankee games on there. They used to. And we were just listening to the Yankee game. And then he was like, we were stuck in traffic on the BQE. And he was like, you know, he's like, what I did was wrong. I'll admit that.
I'll admit it.
Yeah, he's like, what I did was wrong. He said, but the next time somebody disrespects your mother, he's like, you need to step up and defend your mother in any way you know how. He's like, you're the man of that house. He was like, you know, things didn't work out with us. And he's like, and unfortunately, I can't be there. He's like, but you better not fucking let your mother, you know, cry over a guy ever again. So the next time somebody hurts your mother, you punch that motherfucker right in the face. And I was like, okay. Dude, how about this? One more thing.
How are the bagels?
He never got the bagels, that fucking scumbag.
Best in the world.
That was my dad. So my Uncle Victor, rest in peace, my Uncle Victor, he's Puerto Rican dude, right? My mom's sister married this Puerto Rican guy, Uncle Victor. Like, maybe 10 years ago, somebody stole my mother's purse off her shoulder walking down our block. Like, just ran by, knocked her over. Yeah, she actually separated her shoulder. And I wasn't home. I was out of college.
Were you able to pop it back in, though, with that PT?
Physical therapy?
I was in the beginning of physical therapy school. So I'm like, give me 3 years, and I'll pop that shit back in. Just hold off. Put some ice on it. And my uncle, who's not like a crime guy, whatever, it's just like kind of like, you know, like just like a crazy Puerto Rican dude. He like knew like everybody at like the bodegas, like he knew like what was going on, and he knew that there was like some pickpocket scheme shit going on, some like thieves. So he found out like who took my mom's purse, and my uncle had like a garage that he used to work at, and he got this guy like drunk at the garage and tied him up in the garage and tortured him with a blowtorch.
What?
Shut the I fuck up.
Shit. Sweat.
Not to death. He didn't kill him, but he lit his like he like burnt the skin off his knees. I only found out because there was another guy at the bodega who was like, you know, just like a neighborhood guy that everybody knew. He was like, you know, your uncle's fucking crazy, man. And I was like, what do you mean? And then he was like, yeah, your uncle fucking, you know, the guy who stole your mother's purse, he fucking, he lit his kneecaps on fire in the garage.
<His kneecaps.
laughs> And I was like, what? And then my mom never got her stuff back, but that's just, like, shit. So I like didn't understand that I was like around psychopaths until I got a little bit older. Because my uncle's a great guy, and you know, he passed away now, but he fucking tortured the guy
Did he get the money?
No, it was all gone, but he just like to, again, send another message like, nobody touches this woman. He fucking got him drunk and tied him up and tortured him with a blowtorch.
Jesus.
First of all, that didn't just send a message not to fuck with that woman. That sent a message, don't fuck with anyone associated with that dude.
Yeah. Dude, and it was like, we never knew. And you know what's fucking weird about that? I'm just putting this shit together. My stepmom, my dad met
it's
my
all coming together right
my
now.
Dad met my stepmom throwing bread at the pigeons, and my Uncle Victor met my Aunt Eileen, you know, my mom's sister, because they were at the zoo and they didn't know each other, and a monkey threw poop and hit my Uncle Victor in the head, and my Aunt Eileen cleaned the poop off. So both of those fucking, how fucking wild is that? I just realized it's like kind of animals and food and shit. I don't know.
Hilarious.
And, you know, maybe he was involved in that Rocky Road incident. You know what I mean?
Yo, it could have been that monkey, dude.
Let's take a pause for the cause real quick here, because summer is here and the beach, pool, and lake are calling. If you're wondering what to wear this year, forget about the flash in the pan trends and guesswork and get classic surf style from Birdwell Beach Britches that will look good year after year. Birdwell Beach Britches has customers that have worn the same board shorts for over 25 years, and they get better looking with every wear, like a great pair of jeans. Birdwell Beach Britches is one of California's original surf shops. They're legendary for their quality. Like I said, people coming in years and years after. They're timeless. Outside Magazine calls them the 501s of the beach. They're purpose-built for surfing. They're just pure Southern California and classic surf style. I mean, I love them. I got a pair. They sent Jay a pair. They look good. They're sturdy. They're unbreakable. That's what it is. I'm looking for it here. Unbreakable surf null fabric is the toughest in the business. It's unbreakable. It's 2-ply nylon fabric. So to get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping, lifetime guarantee.
How many things have lifetime guarantee?
We don't. And free shipping over $99. Go to birdwell.com and use the discount code CRAB. That's CRAB at checkout. Discount code CRAB at birdwell.com. Pick up your first pair of birdies and see why they've been an American icon since 1961. We have to get you out of here. You got a spot at the Improv tonight, but I think you got a few minutes.
Okay.
Can you tell any of these stories here?
Let's see.
Do you have a few?
Let's see.
You tell any of those down there?
Oh, down here? Oh, yeah, daughter's following the mat. Oh, did edible. Oh, my God, dude. This one did edibles and went to the Islanders game. I smoke weed, you know, a little bit when I was a teenager, but as I got older, I just didn't do it. You know, no drugs, really, no alcohol. Not that I was against it. I didn't do it. And I was with Opie from my Opie and Anthony show last year. We're both big Islanders fans. And he gave me an edible, Sherrod Small's edible. So it's a candy bar, right? And I don't know anything about how it works. So you're supposed to take like a half of a half of a square. No idea. Opie just gives me the candy bar. So I ate the entire candy bar.
Oh, my God.
From the 20th floor to the first floor, I'd fucking crushed this candy bar. So
at once it's finished, did he look at you and say anything?
Well, because it was a crowded elevator. We were coming down in the Sirius building. It was like 6 p.m. So it was crowded. It was making a lot of stops. We were on the elevator for at least 5 minutes, and it was crowded. So he was on the other side on his phone. He didn't understand. And then we're walking to the train. He goes, all right, dude, now take a little piece of that candy bar. And I was like, and I was like, what do you, it's gone. And he goes, fuck you, dude. He goes, seriously, take a little piece. It'll be a nice buzz. And then it'll start to really ramp up. And I was like, Opie, I ate the whole thing. And then he stopped dead in his tracks. He's like, you ate the whole candy bar? And I was like, yeah, is that bad? And he was like, yeah, that's bad.
It's going to be.
Yeah. So he was like, all right. He's like, maybe it'll be a dud. So I said, all right. And then we just started talking. And I just forgot that it was even in my system. I truly forgot. I just was like, we're having a good time. You know, we get to the Islanders game. It's Islanders Rangers. So it's like packed, huge rivalry. People going nuts, you know.
You had an Islanders jersey on?
Islanders jersey. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was Island. Me and Opie. It was at the Barclays Center. So it was like packed with fucking Islanders fans and Rangers fans. And it was great atmosphere. But it's an NHL fucking hockey game. And I have an entire edible in my system that I don't know about. So we're having a good time. All of a sudden, the first period buzzer went off, and I thought somebody threw a spear from like the top of the arena and cut my body in half.
Spear.
And I swear to God. And I popped up out of the chair, and I was like, I'm having a stroke. I was on the boards, like looking at the ice. I was like, I'm having a stroke. I'm having a stroke. And then I turned around to Opie. I was like, I'm having a stroke. And then he was like, you're not having a stroke. I was like, Opie, I'm having a fucking stroke. And then he was like, no, you're not. Just sit down and calm the fuck down. I was like, I can't. So I was like, the left side of my body's gone. So we walk up the stairs. And again, because the Islanders are not like, you know, they're my team, but like, they're not like, you know, they don't, nobody really cares about the Islanders. It's all about the Rangers. So they don't have any real fans that do anything in entertainment. Like they have Kevin Connolly, you know, the director and the guy from Entourage. That's it. He's the only, and he wasn't there. So me and Opie are there. So, cause he's never there. So me and Opie were there. So the Islanders like news team wants to interview me and Opie, and Opie is high as well. But not like me. Like, I'm, like, incapacitated.
Yeah.
So they were asking me questions about the Islanders. And I just, in the interview, I was like, I got to be honest with you. I got to take a shit. So they put the camera down, like, lights down, like, you know, right away. Like, it was one of those things where, like, right away it was like, what the fuck? So.
But they think probably you're trying to be a funny, smart-ass comedian. Right. They have no idea.
They have no idea. So it was all on tape.
1,000 fucking milligrams of
marijuana. So Opie tries to calm me down. He's putting water in my face. We're like walking around. He's like, just relax, just relax. The second period starts. We're sitting down. I don't even know what's happening. Like, I'm just trying to stay calm. I have my eyes closed. I'm trying to meditate because I really believe in my heart that I'm having a stroke. I get a tap on my shoulder. It's the like Jumbotron crew. They want to put me and Opie on the Jumbotron. Just to like be like, look
get
who's here.
Get that kiss cam over here, yeah, please, God.
Look who's here. And again, it's Islanders Rangers. So on the Jumbotron, there's a player on the team. It was Casey Cizikas. People thought I looked like him. So they first put a side-by-side of me and Casey Cizikas. And I was supposed to turn my face to the left because his face was to the left. So it'd be like a matchup. But I was turning my face to the right. So they have this split screen up and it's just the back of my head. But it's supposed to be my face versus Cizikas' face. So it's not going well. People are like, what the fuck is happening? We don't even know. Because I'm just lost. So then they have my cat. They have it on. Another break in the action. They put me and Opie back on, and they want us to say, like, go Islanders, you know, like to get, like, the crowd pumped up. So Opie says, go Islanders, and they go nuts. And then they put the camera on me. And again, it's Jumbotron, 18,000 people. I just yell, fuck the Rangers.
Shut up.
Again, camera right fucking down. That camera right down. The crowd goes ballistic. Sure. Ballistic. They're like, yeah! Like, going nuts. People were throwing, like, beer on me, popcorn. They were going fucking nuts.
What did Opie say?
Opie couldn't believe what was happening. Opie was like, what? He was, like, crying, laughing, but then he was, like, scared. And then after the second period, I just told Opie, I was like, I got to go. I can't. I got to leave. Dude, we had a whole nother period. It's a 1-1 game. I was like, I got to leave. And Opie's like, all right, I'll leave with you. So we get out. Up to the top of the stairs, and the Islanders like personnel is there, and they're like, your tickets are revoked, you're never allowed back in this building again. And I was just like, whatever. Like, I just was so.
Let me call my dad.
Yeah. Like, oh, I was so fucking out of my mind.
He's wheeling down there. Like, yeah. Motherfuckers. Throwing money on the way and shit.
So I was so fucking out of my mind.
You're banned from Barclays.
Banned from Barclays. But that the next day, people were like tweeting, like, yo, fucking crazy, dude. Jumbotron fucked the Rangers. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. And the president of the Islanders, like, saw that. Because the Islanders just get no social media support. They just get nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and all of a sudden, like, they're getting all these at New York Islanders tweets. Like, what the fuck? And the on Monday, I get a text from the guy who gives me the tickets. It was like, you're back in. The owner loves you. And I was like, holy shit. He was like, he saw what happened, and he thinks it's great for the team. And I was, so I was back in. But I remember going back to my house, knocking. I was knocking on, I have a doorbell, but I was like knocking, pounding on the door and to let me in. My kid was asleep, and you know, my girl opens the door and she's like, what's going on? I was like, I just had a stroke. And and she goes, what? I was like, I just had a stroke. And she used to do like a lot of drugs, you know, when she was younger. So she was like, what did you take? And I said, I took an edible chocolate. That's what I called it. And she goes, okay, drink some milk. You're going to drink some milk and go take a shower. So she gives me the milk and I go take the shower and I go take a shower and I took off everything except my Islanders jersey. So I'm taking a shower butt naked, no pants, socks, anything on, butt naked with my Islanders jersey on. And she comes in to check me. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you have your jersey on. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I took it off, and then I went to try to lay down, and I couldn't. And I went into my daughter's room, and she was asleep, and I just woke her up. She was like, you know, 20 months old at the time. I woke her up and I was like, I just want to tell you how much I love you. And I was like, is it okay? Her favorite stuffed animal is Piggy. And I was like, is it all right if I sleep with Piggy tonight? And she was just like, she can't even talk all yet. Right,
yeah.
Yeah. And then her mom was like, get the fuck out of her room. Like, what are you doing? So then I remember I slept with Piggy the whole night. And it was funny because I thought I was having a stroke and I was like really getting nervous. And then literally in the snap of a finger, I was having the best time of my life, hysterical laughing, eyes fucking great. I was having so much fun. I was like trying to like bang my kid's mom. I was like trying to like, I was like putting like pencils in her ass, and she was like, get the fuck away from me. You know, it was like, and then yeah, I went outside. I was like in the backyard just chilling. It was like, I remember it was January. It was like freezing. It was like 10 degrees out. I was out there just in my fucking underwear, just having a great day. And it's one of those things where it's like, I never want to do edibles again, but I also want to do edibles again. You know,
first of all, you kind of did it different than most people do.
It was real stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. But what you did was rally. That's what's, you went out on a high.
I went out on a high.
You could have been curled up on that fucking floor of the Barclays Center, throwing up and crying and everything totally. Else.
Well, what happened was I live on 95th Street, and I had the cab driver let me out at 65th Street because I just thought that I was home. So, and I remember it was freezing, and I took my jacket. I had like a North Face jacket on. I threw it in the public garbage because I was like too hot. And I was like, I'll just fucking get another jacket. And I started like running home. So that was another thing. Like, I showed up to the house like huffing and puffing. She thought I was like on cocaine or something. Because she was like, what the fuck? What happened? Where's your jacket? What's going? And I was like, shit hit the fan, babe. I eat these fucking chocolate edibles.
Man, that's hilarious, dude.
Well, look, we got to get you out of here.
Oh,
so,
all right.
Right? Don't we have to get you out of here by now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm going to go to the show. What time's your spot?
11.
Ugh. I want to go, but I also don't want to go. Should I just go? I should just go, right?
It's up to you. I mean, it's not like it's in the main.
They told me, they call me today, and they're like, you know, you got, my agent got me the spot. That she calls me today. She's like, oh, just want to let you know. She's like, you know, your spot's at 10:20, 10:30, whatever. She's like, but it's an all South Asian show now, but they still would love to have you on. Do you want to do it? And I was just like, yeah, that's fine. But it's also like now it's like, I'm like, do I want it? Why do I want to go do that? I mean, it's fun to like try out new shit, but it's like, I don't know.
No.
Just tired.
Let's tell us that story. I'm going to just veto it.
Yeah, should I just not? I mean, it's at the lab, and it's a South Asian.
South Asian show?
Listen, two things. There's a lot more people listening to this podcast that's going to be in that lab tonight, and I guarantee you we have tripled a South Asian audience on this podcast that they will have enough
room. Yeah, it's just like, Why do I say yes to that?
I love you. Look at you. Good. You're going to stay. So why don't you tell us about, you know what? Let's stay in line. You're canceling this gig. So tell us the story right here about the gig here.
Well, which one? Where?
This gig right here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Almost got killed at that gig. Okay. So 2010, I...
Hold on. Do you want to text anyone and just say you're not going?
I was just going to not show up.
Okay, cool.
Is that whatever you want to do, man?
I mean,
like your dad would.
Because it's also like it's going to be all South Asian people and then just me. So it's like, are they even going to fucking know? And it's also like, I feel like my agent lied. Like, they really want you there. That's just something an agent would say. Why would they fucking want me there?
Yeah.
It's a South Asian show. I'm the people that...
South Asian.
Yeah, like, listen, what does that even mean?
Hey, this has been a lot of fun, man. I didn't even want you here.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It doesn't matter, dude. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm all about like that. I'm all about like nothing matters now, but that's all right. So I'm doing this gig 2010 and I
where is it?
It's okay, so it's in Queens, but like Howard Beach area, which is like where like John Gotti used to live, and like Howard Beach is like notorious Italian mafia guys. So I remember I was doing comedy for about a year maybe a year and a half, and I get this email from this guy. His email was, I'm not even making it up, his email was like something like Carmine 69 Carmine, like something ridiculous. Yeah. We're like, what? And I'll never forget, the subject line said, "Hey, listen." I was like, okay, it's in from fucking musical email. He's like, "Hey, listen." He goes, "I got a gig for you." He goes, it's at the name of the restaurant was called Scungeli's, like the squid, like Scungeli's. That was the name of the restaurant. He goes, "We got an excellent gig for you here. We want you to do 15 minutes. We got beautiful garlic bread." That was the whole email. So just be here. And he gave me the time. And again, being a new comic, I was like, I'll just do it. That sounds great. Whatever. So I get there. It's, you know, just like all mafia guys, like in suits, or like what they look like, mafia guys, suits, ties with their wives, you know. It was definitely, I forgot what the term for it was. My dad used to know the name, tell me the name. I forgot what it was, but it was definitely the mafia. What they do, or organized crime people, what they do is they have events once in a while and you have to bring your wife. Because if you don't bring your wife, then that's they kind of outs you, they feel, as like some kind of either FBI informant or your undercover agent. You have to show up with your wife.
Gotcha.
So that was one of those events. And they always have an entertainer there, you know? So the entertainer, the real entertainer was supposed to be Richard Lewis.
Oh, okay.
So I was supposed to be opening for Richard Lewis. And
how'd this guy find you?
I think because the guy who runs Books and runs Caroline's is like a real like old school Italian guy, and I had just gotten in at Caroline's, so I think it was through him.
Gotcha.
He had told him, use this kid, you know, he's new, you don't have to pay him anything, he's just fucking go up there.
Give
you
him
know.
That, some of that great garlic bread.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just give him that garlic bread.
Love that he put that in the
email. Yeah, that's what he put in the email.
Not meatballs.
No, he said we have beautiful garlic bread. Not excellent, not beautiful. Good, beautiful. Like it's fucking gorgeous, this garlic bread. So I was like, all right. So I go up, do the gig, and it was one, like I said, one of those gigs where they're watching, you know, the wives, how they act, whatever. So I'm bombing. It's going really bad. And I said, like everything that I know about, like, because I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, it's one of these gigs. We got to bring your wives. Who's the fucking, where's your wire? And silence. Like, you know, I would know, because I didn't even have a joke about it.
Right.
Like, they were just like, what the fuck? You know, and I was, because I was right. That's I knew that's what it was. So I was like, oh, shit. So then I just started, again, you know, new comic, no chops. I thought this was a good idea. I just started commenting on how attractive one of the guy's wives were and how ugly he was.
Oh,
and thinking that would be funny. I'm like, this would be fun. Just talking about how nice this woman's tits are and how this guy looks like a fucking beaver. So it's going really bad. So the guy...
How much time are you doing? 20?
I was supposed to do... Well, that's the other thing. I was supposed to do 10 minutes because Richard Lewis was supposed to be there, and Richard Lewis got stuck in traffic. So I wound up having to do close to 40 fucking minutes a year and a half.
40! Giving them the stretch in the back.
40 minutes a year and a half into comedy. No
Jesus
material. The crowd
Christ,
hates me.
The headliner set.
Headliner set. I have no fucking material. So it's going brutal. They finally, Richard Lewis gets there. I get the mic, you know, whatever, him, bring up Richard Lewis. I'm standing in the back. of the restaurant, and somebody grabs me by my shoulder and like takes me onto the other side of the wall, and they go, "You think you're fucking funny, huh?" And I'm like, like it was all happening so fast, and then before I know it, he had a knife at my throat, like a kitchen knife at my throat.
Holy
and he goes, "You fucking
shit.
Funny now, kid? How funny are you now?" He goes, "You know what would be funny? If I cut your Adam's apple out and fed it to your mother. That would be funny." And I'm like, I don't know if that'd be funny. That'd be fucking weird. You know, I'm like, it's like God. Yeah, I'm like, you know, like, so he says, "You fucking disrespected the wrong guy." And with that,
Joe Pesci right here on you.
Well, with that,
Spider.
One of the cooks comes back. You know, he was an older Italian man, but he was a cook. He was had a white, you know, thing on, whatever, apron. And he grabs that guy and he says, "Go sit down. Do me a favor. Go sit down. Give me the knife. Give me the knife." So the guy wipes the knife off with his blanket and he just has it at his side. He goes, "You're a funny kid, you know?" He goes, "But you did make fun of the wrong guy's wife." He said, "But guess what? That's okay." He goes, "What you're going to do is you're going to leave. You're not going to tell anybody about this. You're not going to say anything. You're not going to call the police. You're not going to say you were assaulted. You're just going to go."
Assaulted.
Yeah.
Little bitch.
Yeah. He goes, "You're just going to go." He goes, "Okay." And then he pulls out, I was supposed to get, I think, like $20. He pulls out like maybe $2,000 in cash. And he goes, "Here, take this. Go
a
put
cook.
Some.
A cook.
Yeah. Cook." He goes, "Go put some gas in your car." And I was like, "I have
oh, wait, fuck the, this was the cook?"
It was the cook, but it was the owner of the place and probably the highest level guy. So he's like, "Go put some gas in your car." And I'm like, "I fucking have a Saturn. You know, like, this is like gas for the year, you know?" So what I found out later from that was that the guy who, you know, basically saved me. Oh, so you wanted, you know, you asked me before, say, was my life ever saved? I guess this is an example. That guy like owned the restaurant and was like closer to the, like one of the higher guys there. And the guy who had the knife at my throat was a wannabe. So the wannabes, my dad had always told me that, the wannabes guys are the most dangerous guys. Those are the guys you absolutely want to stay away from. A made guy or a real guy is never going to do anything to you
Pesci.
Unless you do something to him. But the wannabes, those guys will kill you
to prove
a point.
Shit. Yeah.
They'll prove a point. And my dad was like, "You were so lucky that a real guy saw what was happening and didn't want things to get messy." And then it is funny because, you know, when the first of all, when I told my dad what happened, I was like, "Oh, the guy held a knife in my throat." My dad's first question goes, "What kind of knife?" I'm like, "What the fuck does that matter? Ginzu? Why would you not? Why'd you ask that?" He goes, "I'm just want to know what kind of work this guy does."
Kind of work he does.
So yeah, that was, but you know what, man? You know what I'll say about that? It's because I think if I really wasn't like, I don't want to say born for comedy because it's a little corny, but if I really wasn't committed to this, I would have quit. But yeah. I got on stage the next night.
Yeah.
Right away. Yeah. I was on stage telling that story or trying to make that funny, not using real names, you know, embellishing shit, trying to make that work as a comic. So I was like, and then I started to realize, be like, "Oh, this is what I want to do if I'm fucking willing to get back on stage after that shit."
Yeah.
You know? And then one more, I didn't get, this was a similar story. The next year, I was doing some outdoor birthday gig because this is the type of shit you got to do when you first start.
Is.
You know,
it
is what it is.
That's right.
Doing this outdoor birthday gig, and there was this guy who had tattoos like all over his face and his head, kind of looked like a Latino gangbanger kind of guy. And I started making fun of him.
Yeah, that's
because of the tattoos on his head.
Yeah, right. Tattoo in your face. That's the guy I always go right at.
Yeah, fucking dumb shit. Again, no chops. Don't know what I'm doing. He starts to really like go nuts, like not attacking me, but he starts to like hitting himself, like he's foaming, out the mouth, mad. So they cut my mic off and like, "Yo, you gotta go." So
whose birthday?
It was I forgot how I got it. It was like on Facebook. Somebody asked me to like do comedy at this fucking birthday party. So I was one of like five comics. So I go, and then I kind of don't think anything of it. And then I get a call from the police like 2 days later. They're like, "Were you at this birthday party? Were you a comedian? Blah, blah, blah." I said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." They said, "Well, you know, somebody was shot and died at that birthday party. So did you see anything?" And I told them that exact situation. And they said, "Okay." They said, "It makes sense." They said,
"This makes sense."
Yeah.
You riled that dude up enough that he killed him.
Well, no, what happened was is he had just been released from prison for, I think he was in jail for like 15 years. He'd just been released from prison a couple of weeks ago and was not doing well on the outside and wanted a reason to go back. So he just killed someone at the party.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Or it was like some kind of scuffle and it turned violent and he purposely, or I would assume purposely, killed somebody. But the policeman was like, or the detective was like, yeah, you probably escaped a bad situation there because he was looking to go back to jail.
He would have killed you.
Probably.
Holy
shit. Yeah, I didn't even know he had a gun.
Dude.
I didn't know he had a fucking gun. He just had tattoos on his head. You don't think those guys have guns?
I do.
No, I know. I'm kidding.
I think everybody's got one. That's my mentality. You got one on you right now in my world.
I've never even held a gun.
Holy
shit. Man, I can't even believe that.
You're lucky, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah. My dad, I've held a gun. I actually held a gun once in my life. I was...
Your dad's held enough for you. Don't worry.
Well, what happened... My mother, when I was young, she was like worried that I was like too soft, you know.
Your mom was?
Yeah, even though she didn't want me to be like my dad, she was like, you're still acting like too much of a little bitch. So my mom was like, you got to take him hunting or something. You got to man him up. So my dad was like, I'm fucking hunting. All right, I'll take him hunting. So we're driving in New Jersey, and my dad, I remember, he just turned off the highway, not off an exit, just off the highway into the woods. Yeah, into the woods. We parked at a spot, and he opened up the glove box, and there was a handgun.
He's hunting with a handgun.
Yeah,
like the dude
that's what
in deer
he said.
Hunter. Remember the dude in Deer Hunter?
That's what he said. And we just got out, and he had the handgun, and he was like, you know, if some deer runs by, you know, we'd try to shoot it. And no deer came because we're just in off fucking I-95.
In jeans, probably.
No, my dad was like in a tracksuit. But he just had me.
I'm in a tracksuit.
He just had me fire the gun a couple of times, and that was it. And he was
that
like,
man job.
Yeah, he was like, just tell your mom we went hunting. My dad used to take me to the racetrack, like the OTB race. He would take me to Aqueduct Racetrack when he was spending his time.
Talking about horses or cars?
Horses. Okay. When he was really gambling bad, he would take me there and he would tell me to tell my mom that we went to the zoo. So like every weekend, my mom was like, where'd you go? I was like, we went to the zoo. And she's like, you keep taking him to the zoo. He's like, yeah, he loves animals. But it was really, he was betting on horses. You know,
so that's
like what I remember that was like kind of my childhood. But then he stopped gambling. But like he would always tell me, my mom would take me to church every Sunday morning, and the route that we would walk, if you could either walk up Myrtle Avenue or up Seneca Avenue, and it was come to a point where that's where the church was. And my dad would always tell me to walk up Myrtle Avenue because Seneca Avenue is where the OTB racetrack, the OTB was, they'd play like, what are those games like that you see in bars?
Keno.
They would play all that. So my dad and all his friends were there, and he would always take me in there, and I was like, you know, little Chrissy, they'd rub my head, they'd give me sodas. I was like the little kid that would run around there, but my dad didn't want my mom to know that I was going there because my dad, you know, when he picked me up, we're doing all wholesome activities. He's not taking me to the fucking racetrack where they're smoking cigarettes and there's hookers in there. My dad was just like, you're my lucky charm, Chris. I was like everybody's lucky charm, like this little fucking blonde kid. So my mom would always he would always tell me, make sure you walk that other way. So I'd always say, let's walk this way. And then one time we walked down Seneca Avenue and I was getting noticed. They're like, little Chris, hey, what's up, kid? Is this your mother? I've heard so many things about you. You're beautiful, even more beautiful. And then my mother was like, what? How do you know those men? And I remember like my dad was always like, you know, if your mother ever asks you, just don't say nothing. So I was like, I don't know, it's, you know, they know me. And she's like, does he take you in there? And I was like, yes. my dad was like mad. He's like, you know, you fucking ratted me out, kid. But meanwhile, it's like my dad was the wrong one, of course. But yeah, I had like a dad who was a certain way in, you know, when I was younger, but he's a totally different guy now. He's just a totally calm man, doesn't want to do it, not violent, non-fucking...
What age do you think that clicked for him?
I would say like in his, let's see, I'm 33, 10 years ago, so I would say in his early 60s, he was just like, he's done.
He finally hung it off.
Yeah, but he was never in the mafia. He just was around all those guys.
Yeah.
But he was never himself affiliated with anything.
Yeah.
You know? It was just always, that's just, you know, how he grew up in Harlem, the Bronx, Staten Island, these are like hotbeds. You know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people, like, you can look at, like, somebody like a bad guy or, like, a criminal and be like, why is so-and-so doing that? It's like, well, you just got lucky that you grew up in a good house in the wholesome rules and shit. This guy's no different than us. He just grew up in a different way. What he saw and how he was taught to act is just different than how you were. Yeah. That's all it is. I don't think very few people, I think, are truly evil. I mean, there are people who are actually evil who you can't understand why they do what they do. But most people, it's like, oh, yeah, it's pretty easy to understand how this guy wound up the way he is.
Yeah.
You know?
I've met people that you can tell that they were just came from circumstance where they're like, oh, this person is, that's where you're from? Or like, you know, if you ever judge, if you judge someone based off of like how you think they are and then you find out what they are, it's always, I mean, not always, but.
Yeah, like it's not right. And, you know, I think but fucking we need to be dealt with. But like, you know, every fucking pedophile has been molested as a child themselves. They all have been. So it's like, yeah, fucking of course you're going to start touching little fucking kids. You were fucking jerked off when you were 8 years old.
I mean,
gonna
happen. This is a great podcast.
Yeah, dude. I like to fucking
closing strong.
That's all closing, dude. Absolutely. I was molested.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It happened. What do you go? Do you say LaCroix or LaCroix?
I say LaCroix because the website says rhymes with enjoy.
Really?
They give it up. I mean, it's Michigan.
You
it's
went to their
fucking
site?
Yeah, man.
Checking it out over there, huh?
I saw it on there one time. People argue. They said try to get all fucking fancy with it, but that's the thing.
Yeah, dude.
It's just Croy.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
How long do you guys normally do the podcast? An hour and a half?
Hour 15, hour and a half.
Hour and a half is money.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Some people
right
go too long.
Yeah, I agree.
3 hour podcasts. I mean, I know, you know, big guys.
But podcast
do.
Fans love it, though. They really
they like
do.
It, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking hard.
It's we're busy.
It's fucking hard.
Parents. We're all parents at this table.
Yeah. Let's do that last story and then get out of here.
Speaking of parents, yeah, actually.
Oh,
your
my
daughter.
Kids. Oh, yeah.
Or that or the... Oh, you want to do that one?
What? Which one are you thinking?
No, let's
magnet.
Do it.
Yeah, do
oh,
it.
Magnet. So my daughter, this is last year, me and my kid's mom were like not on speaking terms. And I remember we were doing that thing where, every other day I'd see my kid. And it was my off night. So I was at a baseball game. I was fucking like getting really drunk. It was Yankees Mets. And I was... like 10 out of 10 drunk, like, you know, like real having a great time wasted with my good friends from home. It was great. So her mom calls me and she goes, you need to come to the hospital. Your daughter just swallowed a magnet. I'm taking her to the emergency room. You need to come right now. So I shotgunned another beer. Stupid. Like actual true shotgun. Shotgunned another beer. And I'm fucking bombed in this cab going to the hospital. So I go in to the ER, and I find them, I'm in the waiting room. I'm like, I don't even know what's happening. I see them. My daughter's okay. She's sitting there. She's calm. And her mom is like, what's up with you? And I was like, what's up with you? And she goes, are you drunk? I was like, are you fucking drunk? What do you mean? And she goes, you're fucking drunk, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm drunk. She goes, why would you be drunk? I'm like, because I didn't know you were going to feed our daughter pieces of the refrigerator. And I remember I just said that, and a lot of people started laughing in the ER. In the waiting room, like, even a nurse was, like, laughing, and she got fucking pissed. Because it was like, I was like a good joke. Like, it was a
That's
funny
a
thing
great
to say.
Joke.
And I just wasn't like, I just said it because it was hammered. And she was like a huge fight. So everything's fine. Everybody calm down, whatever. And then the doctor calls us in, do the he's setting up the x-ray. He's, calming my daughter down. He's a great doctor. He's like playing with her, distracting her, showing her Mickey Mouse and stuff while setting up the.
How old is she at this point?
Two. Setting up the x-ray. And then so my kid's mom is like, she's like, so the doctor says she swallowed a magnet, it happens. She goes, yeah. She goes, swallowed a magnet. And my kids, and I was like, maybe some coins. So then everybody stops. And the doctor says, ma'am, did you say, and maybe some coins? And she goes, yes. And then we were all like, why didn't you say that? Why didn't you say that before? And then the doctor was having people were just, it was a long night for him, whatever, because he was kind, but then kind of just like snapped. He goes, okay, so you're drunk. I'm like, he's pointing at me. He goes, you're fucking drunk. He goes, and you are feeding your daughter magnets and coins. He goes, do I need to call Child Protective Services? Because what's happening with you two? And I said, look, I'm fucking, I am drunk. I was like, I'll admit that. I'll admit that. Yeah, I was like.
But you should have seen me at the Islanders game about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I was like, Yankees, Mets, whatever. I'm drunk. I was like, she's a great mom, but my daughter's just a little fucking wild and, whatever. And the doctor's like, You understand that there's a magnet and coins inside your daughter's stomach right now. So what do magnets and coins do? And I was like, attract. He's like, attract. He's like, what? He was like talking to us like children. He goes, what's inside your daughter's stomach? And I was like, her organs. He was like, her organs, right. He said, so there's a possibility right now that your daughter has internal bleeding and you two are just sitting here, you know, fighting about bullshit. He goes, I need you to step. One of you can stay. One of you needs to go. So I stepped out of the room and they gave her the x-ray and turned out everything was fine. The magnet that she had swallowed was she swallowed it and it was like right at the edge of her digestive tract. So she pooped it right out and she had never swallowed the coins. She just thought she had swallowed coins, but she didn't ever swallow the coins. She had like had them in her hand.
She took down a couple of bills.
She took down a couple of bills.
Like a 20 and a 5.
Yeah. And I remember the doctor was like, you know, what? Because, oh, and then the bigger problem was I didn't know because, I love my daughter. She's like everything to me. And I'm a nervous guy. So anytime my daughter would like put something by her mouth or like do anything, I would just call poison control. I just fucking called poison control like 20 times. And I didn't know they document that. So I had called poison control like I think 18 times in 2 years. So that was another red flag for the doctor. He's like, so this fucking kid's got coins and magnets, poison control.
And that shows up on the
All
record?
That shows up. So it's like, what's going on? So I explained it to him. But then the doctor had recognized me from MTV. He was like in his mid-30s. And he was like, you were on Guy Code, right? You were a comic? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, that was a good show. I was like, thanks. And he goes, yeah, just be careful with her. He's like, because she's a very active child. Kids put stuff in their mouth all the time, but you know, thank God there was no coins. He's like, but you know, you can't call poison control anymore because it looks bad. He was like, and you know, do not, there was a certain kind of like, it's like a circle magnet that we had. And he was like, you just get those magnets out of your house. Kids swallow them, they choke on them, they cause a lot of internal damage. Like, just get that out of your house. So he did. And now, you know, like knock on wood, my daughter, she's like any other little kid now. You put something in her mouth or whatever, but when she spits it out. But that moment was like fucking nuts because this doctor was like in our face, like
straightening you two.
Yeah,
out.
And that joke murdered in the fucking.
Oh, it's a great joke.
And I felt so good about it, but I also was like, fuck, I embarrassed her, you know. But it was a good joke. I was like, shit,
can't back away from it, especially when you just like 12 beers deep.
That's it. You gotta take it.
Fucking, I was so drunk, like I couldn't believe how drunk I was. And then that happened. And it was all good, though, too, because I was, there was, like, a girl there that I was, like, going to, like, try to, like, set something up with, and it would have just been awful. I would have probably gotten her pregnant, ruined my fucking life again. You know, like, when I was just, like, yeah. So I saved me. My daughter saved me. But, yeah, that was that story.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, thank you for coming on.
Sure.
This has been awesome. You're funny as fuck, and I'm so glad we got to get you while we're here. Thanks for squeezing us in and bailing on the show, man. You're the first one, dude. That's fucking, I love it.
Fuck, dude. Fuck South Asia.
I've been sitting here thinking like how I would feel if I was in New York, and I'd be like, nah, fuck that South Asian show.
Yeah, but would you guys, that's okay to miss.
Yeah, I think it's okay to miss. I don't mean any disrespect to your agent because I don't know him or her, but I got a feeling that they just call and they're like, we can stick them on the end of this fucking show.
Yeah,
they really want.
They always want to feel like they're doing something right, they by got like, something getting you spots. You know what I mean? That's what I always think, especially when you're in town.
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, fucking life goes on.
One more time, would you please promote your show, your social media, anything you want?
Yeah, I'm
dates? Do you have any dates? Summer tour, anything you're doing?
All my stuff's in July.
There you go.
Yeah, fucking August. Well, August 15th.
Well, they can go to your website, yeah?
Yeah, go to my website, ChrisDComedy.com, at ChrisDComedy on Twitter, Instagram, and then I got the History Hyenas podcast. You can get on Riotcast.com or iTunes and go to BayRidgeBoys.net. Check out my web series. And then I got a show every Friday night, 11 o'clock, Stupid Questions with Chris DiStefano on Comedy Central. So...
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on, brother. It was great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler, and all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.